Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Monday is the day that Dr. Kevin Most makes his radio house call with us. He is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine DuPage. Doc, I'm told this is National Doctors Day, so happy National Doctors Day to you.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. And how ironic a day that we should be celebrating all the work that doctors do, and we're actually in the midst of the battle of our careers. So we appreciate all the docs that are jumping up, standing up, running towards this fire instead of running away from it. And we try to acknowledge them as much as we can today.
Yep, and we should thank goodness for all of the healthcare professionals who work tirelessly for us all the time. Let's start off this morning, Doc, with this news of clinical trials being held. It's a nitric oxide gas inhalation therapy that's being tested. And is this something that might happen soon? I mean, is this something we may get soon to help in the fight against the virus?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the FDA, you know, just last week gave emergency expanded access to this. And it's interesting, if you won't remember, but back in, you know, 2000, 2002, when we had SARS, a cousin of coronavirus, nitric oxide was being tested and showed to be quite possibly, you know, a big help here. Then SARS went away, so we didn't have humans to test it on, but we did still test it what we call in vitro, so in other areas besides the body, and it did show that it really stopped the replication of the virus. So it's not going to be a protective measure, but it's certainly a treatment that we can hopefully we'll tap into and see. It's all anecdotal. There's two studies being done now, one in China and one at Mass General, and hope to get results out of that quickly, but if you watch the stock market at all, you saw the companies that make this therapy skyrocketed last week.
There's a lot of talk also about vitamin C these days and how that affects your immune system. In fact, just supplements in general. What's the story on vitamin C in particular, Doc?
Yeah, so vitamin C definitely helps build your immune system, helps regenerate, I'll say, your immune system. So it's a very important vitamin that we take, not only for our immune system, but for a lot of different reasons. And, Bob, the one thing about vitamin C is it's water-soluble. In other words, you need to take it every day. It's not a vitamin that's going to be built up in your body and stored. So we really need to make sure that you're taking vitamin C, whether it be in fresh fruits. There's many other sources for it, or actually in vitamins. I take a vitamin C every day. A lot of people used to wait till they got sick to take vitamin C, saying, oh, I'm sick, I need to take vitamin C. No, you want to take it before you get sick to keep your immune system up. So vitamin C is one of the very important vitamins that we should all be taking right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at a story. New York hospitals are treating some coronavirus patients with vitamin C. And also zinc. A lot of people are wondering about zinc as well.
Yeah, you know, zinc, cold ease, a lot of those medications, you know, that try to prevent. Now, zinc is more of a preventative one that tries to kill the virus before it really can settle into your system. So a lot of people swear by zinc. The studies there have been okay. They haven't been great, and they certainly haven't been done for coronavirus, but they've been done for other viral illnesses and show to be very promising. Be careful, though. You don't want to overdose on it. You don't want to take too much of that. So be hesitant about that one versus the vitamin C, which we know the body will clear naturally.
The story out of New York indicates that the doses they're giving some coronavirus patients there are more than 16 times the NIH daily recommended dietary allowance of vitamin C.
Yep.
Because that would be just 90 milligrams for adult men. So that's a lot of vitamin C.
It is, but if you look at a lot of the prepared vitamin C's, you're going to see that it's a very high dose as well. And again, the vitamin C that your body doesn't use will be cleared by your kidneys. So giving a very high dose is good because it's going to have the impact that they want it to have initially, and then hopefully We'll start to see some good results that show this is a very strong way to not only protect yourself, but treat infections as well.
Those of us who live in this part of the country this time of year are usually vitamin D deficient. And what role does D play in the immune system? And I've heard also that if you take a D supplement, it's not going to be nearly as effective as sticking your face in the sun for a few minutes. True?
Yep.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. So vitamin D, vitamin B, and vitamin C are very important. Vitamin D, our body makes vitamin D naturally as long as we have sunlight. When days are still, they're extending, but they're still short. It was still very dark when I got up this morning. If I work inside all day, I go home, I might be able to get an hour of sunlight. We need a little bit more than that. However, you can take a vitamin D supplement. But naturally made vitamin D obviously is very good. Vitamin D is actually a vitamin that we store in our fat. So as long as you're taking it and you don't get any sunlight, you still have that vitamin D, which is helping your immune system. But it is a vitamin that's very important. And for people, for women especially, for bone stability and bone strength, vitamin D all winter long is very important. So vitamin D very important in our bones, but also important in our immune system.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Hang on. Doc, are you excited about Abbott Labs? They claim their new test could dramatically change the battle against the virus. What's the latest?
Yeah, Bob, this is very exciting, and we wish it was a month ago, but it is what it is, and we'll take it right now. So currently, the testing market right now is overwhelmed with tests, and these tests unfortunately take a while to get the results back. Matter of fact, right now we're seeing some turnaround times and tests of 3 to 5 days, which is very discouraging because people want to know and we need to know. Abbott had their testing equipment approved late last week to be able to do a 5-minute test. Currently, some of the tests that we're doing right now take 4 to 6 hours to do the test, which makes it about a 24-hour turnaround time, but they're overwhelmed, so that's why the turnaround time gets extended. Abbott with their 5-minute test would be so important, and it's called point-of-care testing. In other words, it can be done, doesn't have to be done specifically in a lab. It could be done at different sites, at nursing homes before workers come in to work, at healthcare sites, so before they come in to work in the hospital. The big thing there is to find that asymptomatic person, not so much the person with symptoms, but who's asymptomatic, isolate that patient so we stop the spread quicker.
I don't know whether you heard us talking about this earlier, but people are nervous if someone walks by you within that 6-foot distance. And I was talking about how you're out running or out walking and you're quickly passing somebody by and maybe they're not within 6 feet. And, you know, a lot of folks are freaking out. But there's no reason to worry about that, is there? If you're just walking quickly by someone or running quickly by someone and maybe they're 3 feet from you instead of 6 feet, I mean, unless there's sweats getting on you or something like that, you're good, right?
Correct. Yeah, unless they're actively coughing, you're fine. You know, we talk about that 6 to 10 foot distance because we know how far, if someone coughs or sneezes, how far those droplets, which could hold the virus, will go. So you walking by someone quickly, not only does the air move quickly, but if you're walking by someone quickly and not multiple people over multiple people, then yeah, you should be just fine as long as they're not coughing. Social distancing is all about, if I have the virus, how far can I spread it to get to you? So that's the big thing right now. So walking by somebody, sure, make sure you're social distance anyways, but certainly your chance of getting it just from walking by somebody like that is very low.
Are there enough numbers yet to answer this question? Are men more affected by the virus than women?
There's not enough numbers, but it does appear that men are affected more. So whether that's anecdotal and we're seeing men with more chronic illnesses and have lower immune systems, that will all be shaken out later as we really start to gather a lot of data on this.
You know, back to vitamins for a minute. A lot of doctors have different opinions on whether supplements work. And this brings up an interesting question. Now, folks are hungry for good information. Are we being adequately informed? What is the best source? Is it the World Health Organization website?
Yeah, WHO is very good, and the CDC, and it depends on what you really want to get. You know, the CDC and the World Health Organization, two very reputable places that are going to give you the data on what's going on in the current illnesses and the current COVID breakout. When we start to look at, boy, this might work and that might work, I would tell people, be very careful. There's a lot of people out there right now that are trying to take advantage of this, and look for something that has been studied, which unfortunately there is very few. If you even look at, like, we're using malaria drugs, we're using antibiotics, and you say, oh, wait, this is a virus. These are anecdotal things right now that we have heard have worked in Italy and France and China, and we're trying them. But we need to study them properly, because if this comes back again in the fall after we have our run, we want to know which medications work, not which medications we think may work.
Are most of the health experts and medical professionals predicting that it will come back in the fall?
It certainly appears that that's the case. You know, you would hope that the Southern Hemisphere would not be hit as hard because they're still in their summer slash fall, but yet they're getting the cases there. So will we see a seasonality of this? We certainly hope to, but we don't know that. And then we also don't know, once you've had it, how long will your immunity last? And will we see, if it does come back in the fall, much lower numbers because we've had so many people that will have been exposed by that time?
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have more treatments by then. But as you point out, I mean, this is all so new. We don't have a lot of numbers, and so we don't have a lot of answers to a lot of questions. Here's a question that came in on our text line from 815. This is interesting. Shouldn't we be changing our toothbrushes more often? And if so, how often? Well, you should do that normally every couple of months, shouldn't you?
Yeah, you definitely should. From a COVID point of view, as long as you're not sharing a toothbrush, all you're doing is essentially yourself. The virus won't live on a toothbrush for that long, so it wouldn't be worried. And those people that are worried, run it under hot water and be careful. But yes, switching a toothbrush on a regular basis is something that we should be doing for our dental health anyways.
From the 847 area code, please ask the doc about the homemade masks people are sewing. Well, unless you have the Z95, you're really not getting full protection, are you?
Yeah, so we'll talk just briefly about masks. So there's many. You have a full spectrum of masks, right? The N95 mask, the reason it's called N95 is it blocks 95% of the particles that we're concerned about. Even the N95 does not block 100%. So the individuals who are making masks for the first responders, for hospitals, we really appreciate that, because they feel now that they are doing something, and they actually are. So you're going to start to see almost every hospital going to people wearing masks all the time. The amount of paper masks and the masks that we're using will potentially be depleted, so we're really looking, can we use cloth masks? And two things, the mask that we're talking about for the healthy person wearing only protects the other people around them. So that really what we're looking to do with masks right now and people that don't have symptoms is try to protect in case they're an asymptomatic carrier. In other words, they have the disease, they don't know it yet, and that's why they're wearing the masks. So thank you to everyone who has stepped up to do this. We so appreciate it, and your help fighting the battle in the occupation that you may feel that you can't.
We've gotten a number of questions from people wondering about getting the COVID-19 twice. What do we know about that?
Yeah, so that is the million-dollar question. So all we know right now is that after you've had the illness, we can test to see if you make antibodies, and we know that you do make antibodies. The question now is, will the immune response remember that 6 months from now, or how long will those antibodies stay in your system? So everyone's talking about testing, and there's two different areas of testing. One is, do I have the disease? And two is, did I have the disease, and do I have antibodies? If you think of infections or viruses like polio or measles, where once you've had it or once you've been vaccinated, you have lifelong protection. We don't know if that's going to be true for the coronavirus. We certainly hope it is, but we're not sure at this point.
Another question from the 847 area code. Since more people are social distancing and staying home, are we seeing a decrease in the regular flu? Have we noticed anything about the normal flu yet, Doc?
Yeah, so it's interesting. When we go with the flu right now, we still look at what we call ILIs, influenza-like illnesses. So we're not doing as much testing of influenza for a couple reasons. People are not going to the doctor's office. They're actually being told to stay home and presume that they have influenza. And also, we're making sure that we're looking for COVID as well. So the flu numbers will be a little bit weird this year because it's not a historic year where people would have gone to a doctor and been tested. So when we look at the numbers of flu, are they coming down? They are, because we're looking at data points that we aren't collecting normally now. So influenza is still out there, should be tapering here as we go into these next couple weeks. But actually, I wish I could give you the answer, but I can't because of the way we've been treating all illnesses at this point.
Well, bottom line, for now, just keep your distance, wash your hands with soap, and keep practicing all the rules we've heard about, and maybe we'll get a handle on this thing over the next couple of months. And that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say two things. You know, don't get complacent right now. I'm glad President Trump moved the April 15th to April 30th. I think that was a confusing point for many people. And then I would say the other thing, and it's the part of the population that we're not watching enough, Bob, is we have all these kids who are home from school right now. Keep your TVs off when they're around, depending on the age of your children. All those children are hearing is how many deaths we had, how many cases we had, how terrible this is, and how it's around the world. They may be playing a game, they may be reading a book, but they're still hearing that, and we don't know the impact there. They're concerned about their grandparents. They hear about all these people dying. So please, watch the TV at night, watch the TV when your children aren't in the room, and make sure you're answering those questions, and make sure you're reassuring them that you are doing everything you can to keep them safe.
And no matter what your age, you know, it could hit, so be careful out there. Doc, thank you. By the way, I think I called the mask a Z95. It's N95. I think I was thinking of a radio station.
Correct.
Have a good
day. All right, Bob. Thank you.
And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.